We are at Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to pick up at verse 20. If you don't have a Bible, I would encourage you to pick one up over at the resource table in the corner of the gymnasium so you can follow along with us. So we are at Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to pick up at verse 20. We'll read through the end of chapter 1. This is God's holy and infallible word. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my word known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me. But I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. My word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So every time a hurricane is about to hit the U.S., category 3, 4, 5, it usually comes with emergency warnings and evacuations, where local officials will step in and say, you all need to evacuate, especially along the coast, because this is going to be really dangerous, and we want to keep you safe. And every time these hurricanes are coming and evacuations are given, every time there is a large group of people that ignore the warnings, that stay behind. I was watching a video this last week from Hurricane Irma, that was in 2017. There's a dad with two of his boys and a weather a woman, a meteorologist. She is interviewing them, and her hair's, you know, blowing everywhere. She's holding on to her head to keep her hat on. Rain is in her face, and she's like, why are you all staying here? And the dad is explaining, you know, because of where the eye of the storm is and where we are, we feel like it's going to be safe. And his probably 12-year-old boy looks at the camera. He's like, we're savages. That's why we're staying here. Kind of a snapshot, though, of people responding. They downplay the danger. They are overly confident in self. They're very concerned about their property and possessions and don't want to risk something happening to them, at least without them being able to try to do something. But here's the unfortunate truth. When warnings are ignored, unnecessary suffering usually results. Man's folly, man's foolishness will often lead to destruction. God has warned humanity. Wisdom has cried aloud from the mountaintops, and man has not taken heed to the warning. And what we're going to see in today's passage is an urgent plea to repent and believe. If you reject the Lord, prepare to suffer the consequences. And I need us to think in the immediate context and then zoom out big picture. Immediate context, we're speaking about wisdom, knowledge, and living. And if you reject wisdom, expect life to get very messy and dicey. When you go the path of foolishness, don't be surprised when things unravel. But it's not just simply wisdom in the immediate context. We're going to zoom out, and it's big picture. It's wisdom personified. It's long-term Jesus accepting and rejecting him. Because what we see in this passage is God's warning of judgment to those who ignore him. This is an emergency. I'll give you a preview of where we're going. We're going to begin our time by looking at the grace of God. We're going to see the grace of God. God lets us know about the danger. That's crucial because he doesn't have to. God is under no obligation to warn wayward sinners about what was going to happen. So in his grace, in his mercy, in his love, he warns us. And not only does he warn us, he offers hope, as we're going to see in the passage. So we're going to see the grace of God. And then secondly, we're going to see the folly of fools. That man, even though hope is offered, in their sin, loving darkness more than light, will ignore and reject God's call and will ultimately suffer the consequences. All right, so let's begin at verse 20 as we see the grace of God. Last week, as I mentioned, we began a series in the book of Proverbs. We're going to go 8 weeks, so we'll go up to the week before Christmas. So we'll do a Christmas service the following week after the Proverbs series is over. After that, we'll do something for New Year's. And then for those of you I didn't tell, January, here's the big reveal. We're going to be going through the book of Revelation. So we'll be going through the whole book of Revelation in January. I've been wanting to do this for about 15 years. I still don't feel adequate to do it, but I feel like I'm ready enough to give it a go. So that's going to be in January, Lord willing. But right now we're in Proverbs. Proverbs, kind of the big picture thrust of what we're trying to communicate is wisdom. And if you recall from last week, wisdom is knowledge in living. It's not just simply living what is best, but living what is right. Living in a way that honors God. And we saw last week the foundation to wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The foundation of wisdom is you got to start with a right relationship with God. That you have to have a proper reverence of God. If you don't know the Lord, you might make right decisions every now and then. You might do something that is wise, but ultimately you cannot be wise without Christ. And we're building on that kind of that building block idea. The second really building block as we speak of wisdom is understanding that wisdom is a life and death matter. You either embrace it or you accept it. There is no room for ambiguity. Well, as we look at the grace of God, verse 20, I want us to see wisdom's warning. He begins, he says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets, she raises her voice." So right there, we see wisdom is being personified by Solomon. So wisdom, you and I, we often think of it as an abstract idea, a thought, a concept. And he's speaking of wisdom as a woman. We need to not overthink this, though, okay? In the Hebrew noun, wisdom is a feminine noun. So it makes sense for him to use a pronoun of she. The reason I'm saying that is because he's personifying it here, but then we're going to actually see not the personification of wisdom, but the actual person of wisdom in Jesus. So don't find like there's some conflict here. It's just he's using it there. Another possibility too with the she component is it is Solomon speaking. He loved women. That was his big weakness. His son probably not too different than his dad. So hey, if there was something that was going to catch his son's attention, it was talking about somebody being a woman. So there might be a little bit there, but the big picture is that wisdom is a person. It's Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1:24. It says, "Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God." So wisdom's personified here over the course of the whole Bible. Wisdom is a person. It's Jesus. But not only do we see wisdom personified, it goes on, wisdom is very public in its proclamation. It says, "At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks." So wisdom is something that is very vocal. It's not a whisper. It's not hidden. It's not in secret. Think about warnings that we come across in our society. Think about driving warnings. Anytime you drive through a construction area where there are workers present, they go out of their way to warn you, do they not? Cones, flashing lights, signs, warnings that if you get in an accident, 5 years prison, $250,000 fine. They are doing everything in their power for you, at the very least, to pay attention to what you're doing when you drive through an area where workers are present. Other times, warnings on the road, not that big of a deal. Driving up to IKEA this past week, or week before, and I'm a little bit north of Dundee, and I've seen the sign before, so it wasn't completely new to me. I look up, and I think it was a gray, very kind of bland sign. If I would have been looking in the other direction, I would have noticed it. It said, don't pitch up hitchhikers, there's a prison nearby. Just in passing, and then that's it. So, like, what if you're driving, you didn't notice that sign, and all of a sudden you're trying to be the good Samaritan, and you see the person in the orange jumpsuit who happens to be hitchhiking, you're like, wow, I wonder why he's dressed up like that. Where are you going? Come on in. No, you don't understand the difference. The construction, it's like everybody's attention. Hey, beware. And then over here, it's just like in passing. Hey, you probably not want to pick up an ex-convict or an escape convict because it might not go well for you. You see, wisdom is more like the construction site. It's public, it's loud, it's not secretive, and it's a warning. It's a warning. Jesus in Luke chapter 16, he tells a parable of a rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man ends up in Hades. And he's able to ask, he's like, you know, send Lazarus down to provide refreshment because, you know, dip his finger in water because I'm being so tormented. And then he says this in Luke 16:28. I have five brothers so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. John the Baptist, he said, who has warned you to flee from the coming wrath? So this wisdom calling, and not only is it vocal, it's a warning, it's a beware, it's a danger. And on top of it all, it's to a people who don't deserve it. Go down to verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? And this is simple, not in a compliment. Sometimes I like simple things. I'm kind of admiring people who have like kind of a simplistic lifestyle, who don't have tons of clutter. No, it's not a compliment. It's the idea of somebody who is lazy, who ignorance is bliss, who's okay with not knowing. They're okay that there's no God in their life, at least from their point of view. He goes on and says, how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? Scoffers or mockers are people that mock God, who mock the righteous. These are fools. Hosea 7:2, they do not consider that I remember all their evil. Now their deeds surround them. They are before my face. We need to understand God in his infinite justice and goodness could have sent only wrath. He did not need to. He did not have to. He did not have any obligation to offer grace and mercy. And yet he warns them. Well, have you heard this message of warning from God? Are you vocal with this message? Friends, there's not a more important message for us to communicate in this world today than to let sinners know that there is a God who's going to come one day to judge them. All the things you and I get worked up about, whether it's COVID-related, election-related, sports-related, you fill in the blank, none of them should gather our passion as a follower of Jesus as much as us being the warning, the vocal caution to society. Do you see the unworthiness of its recipients? Do you see God's grace and mercy in all of this? So we see not only wisdom's warning, we see wisdom's wealth. And then we go to verse 23 and listen to this good news. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. And then go down to verse 33 with me. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and be at ease without dread of disaster. So the warning's been sounded. Good news has been offered. He says the only thing you need to do is to turn. To turn, it's the idea of repentance. You're going in one direction, you turn, go the other direction. So you're going north, you go south. You're going east, you're going west. It's that repenting, contrite change of life. And he says, if you do that, I promise to bless you beyond measure. I have no idea what's going to happen in a few weeks, Black Friday. I don't know how you're going to do Black Friday shopping COVID time. But I, as somebody who has, I'll admit it, has been suckered in to going out in the wee hours to shop, you do that. Some people just do it because they enjoy the camaraderie of it. I did it simply because it was the way I was going to get whatever item we were buying at the cheapest possible way. And sometimes there are some amazing deals on Black Friday. So you get out there, you wait in line, and this happened to me multiple times. I finally get up there to get the amazing deal, and what do they say to me? We have sold out of it. But, because stores are brilliant, you're in the store now, and there's other less awesome but still pretty decent deals, and then you go and you end up coming back. I mean, there's times where I came home, and Abby's like, did you get it? And I'm like, no, but I got this, this, this. Were they as good as deals? No, but they were decent deals. Do you understand? This is the deal of deals, friends. If you turn, I will pour my spirit out on you. I will give you understanding. I will allow you to dwell secure without fear of dread. That is a promise that's not too good to be true. It is real indeed. That, think about this. We're talking about the subject of wisdom, knowledge, and living. Knowledge and living implies that we need help outside of ourselves because you and I are naturally not wise. So we need insight. We need guidance to lead. And what does he promise? Here's how I'm going to fix this for you. I'm going to pour out my spirit on you. Ephesians 1:13. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So, I mean, that's one of the glorious truths. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you have the Holy Spirit, that God lives and dwells inside of you, that he works through you, that he guides you, he convicts you, he directs you. When you're doing amazing things for God, it's not actually you doing it, it's God doing it in and through you. But not only does he pour his spirit, he gives them words known to him. Think of that. He goes on and says, I will make my words known to you. The people we've already looked at, the simple, the scoffers, the fools, do they know God's word? Nod your head, no, they don't. They can't know his word. It goes in one ear, out the other. It's like them looking at a brick wall, talking back to it, nothing's happening. There is this a disconnect. And he says, because I've given you my spirit, I'm going to allow you to know me, to know my word. 1 Corinthians 2:12, you have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that you might understand the things given by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Friends, if you understand God in his word, that is a miracle. If God uses this time in his word, as I'm preaching his word to you, and it is impactful to you, it's not because of me. It's because of God in his grace using his word through his spirit is doing a work in and through us. It is something that should be such an amazing blessing and privilege that we cannot be speak enough about just how overwhelming this is. And he's doing this to people who were initially foolish and ignorant. Think of that. And not only that, not only spirit being poured out, words known. Go down to verse 33 again. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure. If you know anything about the Israelites, they did not know that very often. Now, at the time of Solomon, they did. But the history of Israel, they never knew really what it was like to dwell secure. They were, for so many generations, were sojourners, remember, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then they're in Egypt, not secure. Then they end up in the wilderness, not secure. They end up in the promised land, still not secure because there's other nations there. There's constant war with people like the Philistines. So they're never knowing security like that. And yet Solomon is speaking of God's promise of security. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you peace. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So if we know the Lord based on what this is teaching, we will be at ease without dread of disaster. So let's translate that. That means that you and I can stare the future in its face and have no fear. Let's camp out on that for a little bit. You can look at the future because of who God is, because of what God has promised, and we cannot be afraid. Let's continue to camp out there. We can look at Tuesday, no matter what happens, and not be afraid. We can look at next year and the following year. As followers of the Lord, we do not fear the future. As David says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm a great warrior. No, he says, because you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And Solomon, the wealthiest, wisest king, his hope and his confidence were not in his abilities, his resources. No, it's because of who he knew in God. Why are you turning at the Lord's reproof? Has he poured out his Spirit on you? Is it evident in your life? Do we see fruit of the Spirit growing in you? Has he made known to his word to you? Do you thank him for having such a privilege? Are you dwelling securely and at peace? Are you afraid? Friends, there's no reason to be afraid. That doesn't mean we're not mindful of the future. That doesn't mean we don't prepare for the future. That doesn't mean that some situations are more frightening than the other. But if there's going to be any fear, it should be towards the Lord, the fear of the Lord, not fear of situations, not fear of leaders, not fear of government. No, I don't fear them because the Lord is with us. All right, so we see the grace of God, wisdom's warning, wisdom's wealth. But painfully, we know, friends, family members, loved ones, perfect strangers, who don't embrace what we speak of. I think we could argue, and we don't have a number, but it seems like the majority of people do not embrace wisdom's call. But we need to understand, it is a willful rejection. Go to verse 22 with me. We already read it, but I want to reread it. He says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? So indictment number one, the simple love being simple. How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? Indictment number two, scoffers delight in their scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. Indictment number three, fools hate knowledge. Go down to verse 24. Because I have called you and refused to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. You're hearing this? He's calling, they're not listening. He's stretching out their hand, they're not heeding. You're ignoring my counsel. You would have none of my reproof. You would expect everyone to embrace this offer, would you not? I mean, it is the better than any Black Friday sales offer. And yet, that's not the case. Because people love being simple. Scoffers love to delight in scoffing. Fools hate knowledge. You see, this rejection is active and over time. I've had friends who have been landlords, and they've told me stories of horror stories of certain tenants that they've had. I've heard of stories where you have a tenant who consistently misses payment on their rent or doesn't pay fully. They get complaints from various neighbors where they're staying. There's damages done to the property. Police have to come time and again to this place that's rented. Then at some point, the landlord has to draw the line in the sand. And at some point, he or she has to say, enough is enough. We're going to have to evict you. But in that scenario, is the person being evicted a victim? No. They had it coming. It was long and over time and very active. Friends, that is reality with us. God has been so patient towards sinners. Romans 2:4, do you presume on the riches of his kindness in forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness means to lead you to repentance. The fact that God hasn't brought judgment and wrath yet is because he is kind and he's giving opportunities for people to turn to him. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is slow to anger. He is long-suffering to willful rejectors. And every single person in this room and every single person at home at some point was in that category. You loved not knowing God. You loved darkness over light. John 3:19, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. You loved your sin. Regardless of what your testimony and your history and your background is, that was the case for all of us. We were willful rejectors. Even the idea that we were seeking God, we were seeking the benefits of knowing God, and if we were actually seeking God, it was the result of God working through you to seek him. But there is no victims here. We did not heed his warning. We ignored him. We did not want any of him. And it's because of God's grace you're not still in that boat today. Why are you rejecting God's warning? I guarantee somebody in here is still rejecting his warning. Somebody in here is looking at the camera saying, I feel safe where we are. The eye of the storm will not actually hit us. Somebody in this room is looking at the camera saying, I'm a savage. I'm not afraid. Well, friends, you should be afraid. You should be very afraid of what awaits you with God's judgment. And for those of you who have embraced this warning, have taken heed, or are finding shelter and protection in Jesus, are you celebrating who God is with you? That he's patient with you. Even when we were active rebels, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we see the willful rejection, and then lastly, we see wrath-filled reaping. Go to verse 26. And Solomon intensifies the language. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. That's intense. This is not Hallmark kind of language. He's saying, I'm going to laugh at your funeral because you've rejected me. That the day of trouble, it is going to fall on you. Terror, calamity, distress, anguish. It's us turning on the news, seeing the weather radar, seeing the giant storm coming to where we are, and there is no way it's not going to hit us. And that is what he's saying here. Revelation 20, verse 12, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. The other book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That wrath and judgment are coming. And here is the sobering truth. There will be a limit on how long God will wait. God's forbearance, God's patience will not last forever. Charles Bridges says there's going to be a knock. Because we love quoting that. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and be with them. He says there will be a knock that will be the last knock. There will be an expiration date on God's grace and mercy. I mean, you and I, coupons eventually run out. Warranties eventually run out most of the time. You usually can't buy something 20 years later, show up at the store and say, hey, it doesn't work anymore. Can I get another one? They're going to usually laugh at you on most warranty. There's probably an exception to that, but with God's grace and mercy, there will be a limit. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. And notice why. It's because they're reaping what they've sown. They hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, they will eat the fruit of their way. And they'll have a fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. The one who sows to a sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. So that's the warning for us all today. If you're sowing in the flesh, if you are rejecting God's warnings, you will reap the consequence. I mean, this is fire and brimstone, because this is what the Bible is teaching here. This is a warning. There's an example in Israel, I think, that illustrates it well. They're in the wilderness. God is providing for them food and water, but they don't like it. They're sick of it. So they have the nerve at one point. They look at Moses, poor Moses, and they say, why did you take us out of Egypt? Why did you take us out of the good days in which we were slaves and we were oppressed? Those were glorious days. And you had the nerve to take us out in the desert where God himself provides for us on a day-to-day basis? What is wrong with you? We want Egypt. We want Egypt. And God said, you want Egypt? I'll give you Egypt. And then what ends up happening is a bunch of fiery serpents come out and attack and kill a large number of Israel. Why is that God giving them Egypt? Because if you've ever seen Pharaoh and pictures and stuff, what does his head resemble in his outfit and attire? It's a cobra. Egypt was equivalent of serpents. That was, it was something that was even in their religion and in how they thought. It would be the equivalent in America if you said, God, give me America, and then bald eagles came attacking us all. That would be a scary movie. But that's that idea of God giving them what they ask. And friends, our rejection of God will one day give us what we're asking for. And that is his wrath and condemnation. Well, are you ready for that day? Are you taking for granted God's patience? Do you see that wrath is coming and it's a result of our sin? Do you see the justice of God in all that? And here's the big picture for all the believers here. Do you see the need of others in this message? Do you see that your neighbor across the street who's voting differently than you, and you're so annoyed at seeing that sign, that that person might not know Christ? And far worse, and they're voting in somebody that you don't want them to vote for, they're not voting for the King of Kings. And one day that's going to cost them their eternity. Does that grip you? Does that move you? Because it needs to. I always remember watching on TV as a kid. I'd be watching a show. I might be in the other room. And all of a sudden I'd hear, that's not a really good pitch. Probably a little bit higher. Like, beep. This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with the FCC and other authorities, have developed a system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. And if you were watching a show, you were annoyed, were you not? Like, what are you doing? I remember times watching as a kid. I was a huge sports fan, still a sports fan. I'd be in the middle of a game, and all of a sudden there would be that screen and that beep, and I would be like, oh my goodness, come on. And then they say, if this was an actual emergency, it would be followed. I'm like, just do it when it's an actual emergency. Stop doing this. I think we as a church, I think us as believers, and I think most of society look at the warnings of wisdom, the message of the gospel, and we act as though it's a test. It's not an actual emergency. That's the simple, they stay in their simplicity. Scoffers stay in their scoffing. Fools stay in their hating of knowledge. It's We're good. I'm fine. I'm good to go. Quit interrupting my life with this stupid message that I don't need. But friends, this is not a test. This is an actual emergency. Do you understand that? There is a category, I don't even think there are sixes. There's a category 6 hurricane coming our way. It is going to bear down on us. God's wrath and judgment will come for sinners. And if you do not know Christ, you will not be protected. Some think they can survive it. Some of you even today are downplaying the danger. And I can't stress it enough. When this storm finally comes, it'll be too late. So here's the question, key to wisdom. Is this a life and death matter, and have you embraced life? Have you accepted Christ? Because if you haven't, when the storm comes, it will be too late. You will not be safe. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you, God, that you are a loving, gracious, slow to anger God. We thank you that you warn us, that you don't have to, you're not obligated. If anything, we don't deserve it, but that is the beauty of grace. So we pray, God, for anybody here that has not taken heed to the warning, that today might be the day that they would embrace Jesus for the first time, that they would say, I want your spirit in my life. I want to understand. I want to be able to dwell securely and look at the future without fear. And they can have that even now through Jesus. But we pray for all of us here who already embrace that reality, that God, we would be mindful of that as we live in this world, that we would be witnesses, that we would be disciple makers, that we would bring this message of hope in a world that seems so hopeless. Oh God, save and redeem your people and allow us to be the instruments by which you do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand as we respond with the song of worship.